felt like wasn't capable of doing a whole lot, which I feel the same way many times, and just thank the Lord, you know, that he's with me and helping me, even though I don't really feel like I'm doing much, but I'm just thankful that he's there and with us. Amazes me. I can write my notes down, and Brother Pepper empty them out before I get up here. And I had in my notes, you know, God with us, for us, and in us, you know, and all that. And everyone hit that. And, you know, this morning he's talking about when a good man falls, he can get up and go forward. And, you know, that's what I was preaching on tonight, looking backwards or forwards. And just talking about our mind frame. You know, we battle in our mind where the enemy attacks us. You know, whether we're going to turn back and go where we came from or where we're going to go forward. And I just thank all the people that worked at the church also. And I'm not anybody, but just fellowship, everyone working up there and just jumping in, doing what they could. And Sister Pepper, I apologize to you for cutting up with you the other day. Was down there. Some people get all the gravy, you know, it's under that hood and that nasty job you had, and Sarah, and I was admiring your courage to jump in here and go at it, and I hope I didn't offend you. And I just look back how the Lord's blessed our church, and, you know, the Pixley's Lumber and the electricians and all they've offered to do, and, you know, my boss at work, I went in Friday and told him, thank you, you know, for being so good to us, helping us out. It's been a big blessing. And I wanted to thank him sooner than that. I had a rough week. It was really humid, and I was all sweaty and dirty and looked like a hog. I didn't want to go up front office looking like that. So finally got up here right before lunch, about lunchtime. I just crossed the hall from the break room. I went up the front office and told him, so don't worry about that. You know, you're welcome up here anytime. So he's a good person to work for. They've really been good to me up there. And I just appreciate the blessing there that God's gave us and gave me. And I was thinking about that folding gate. You know, was having such a struggle with getting through the doorway, and was all scratching her head, what are we going to do now? How are we going to get it over there, you know? And I suggest, well, get all the guys up here and we'll tack it together. And when we all ganged up on it, you know, working together, we got it done. It's still rough, but we got it accomplished. But that's what it takes, all working together and putting efforts together. And the Lord been with us. And Matthew was a big blessing, you know, just came by. And Brother Sneros and I were up in the lift, and the boys disappeared. Wife had took them to the store or something, and there went our help, and he just happened to wander by. I said, here, Matthew. He was running back and forth and wasn't supposed to be, but he was help there too. I appreciate that. And Brother Robert seen the tracks up the side of the wall there where he had been and doing that mudding and teasing wife about it. And I was thankful that she even jumped in there and helped me. She was running up and down the ladder. I told her, be careful, you know, cause if you knew my wife, she's clumsy. And when she was younger, she'd fall going up the stairs in the middle of the night. And family said, Cindy, is that you? They knew immediately. And I'm just thankful the Lord watched over. Anyway, I didn't see what all the other ladies were doing up there in the other room. They were all busy, but I'm thankful for all the people that pitched in and helped, and it was a blessing. Each time I walk in there and look, you know, it just kind of blows my mind how much has got accomplished already, you know, for the size of the place and the small group we've got. Really coming along. But I'm going to start in Genesis chapter 19, verse 1. I got probably a lot of reading, but this here, and there came two angels to Sodom and Eve, and Lot sat at the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And we'll go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll read some more here in a minute, but let's just all look to the Lord. Lord, we are thankful, God, for all you're doing through this little church, Lord, and blessing the people, Lord, and protecting us, Lord, and just meeting each need, Lord. We just glorify your name, praise you. Thankful, God, for your love and your mercy and your kindness to each of us, Lord. And we just ask, God, for your help tonight, Lord, in this service, Lord. We just give you the praise and thanks, Lord Jesus. Have your way, Lord. We'll give you the praise. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Anyway, we know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, how wicked it was, and God came along and sent the angel there to destroy the place. It just got to the level that he just had all he could take. And then I'm going to skip down to verse 13 there, and it says, "And for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord had sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons in law, which married his daughters, and said, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, and lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. While he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, and Lot being merciful unto him, and they... the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and sent him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said to them, Go not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast shown unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near to thee to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one, and my soul shall live? And he said to him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, and I will not overthrow this city, for that which thou hast spoken, haste thee, escape thither, and I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore, the name of the city was Zoar, called Zoar, and sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire, and the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plains and the inhabitants of the cities, that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back, and behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And we see his wife looking back. I don't know if she was longing to still be there or what was going on there, but she disobeyed the Lord. He told her not to even look back. And she looked back, and she lost her life there. And I want to go next to Numbers 11 in verse 1. And I look at some of these stories in here and said, man, how did the Lord handle these people? You know, always complaining and griping. And I look at the day's present time, and we see the same thing going on many times. And I'm just thankful for the Lord's mercy. Since when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them, and consumed them that were in the utmost part of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses. And when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because of the fire of the Lord burned among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, and the cucumbers, and the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. And now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof, the color of bedlam. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills and beat it into a mortar and baked it in pans and make cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when they dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in his door in his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly, and Moses was displeased. And Moses said to the Lord, Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant, and wherefore have I found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I gotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, Carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the sucking child unto the land which thou sawest unto their fathers? Whence should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, Give us flesh that we may eat. And I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal with us thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of thy hand, if I have found favor in thy sight. Let me not see my wretchedness. And the Lord said to Moses, Gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be of the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and I will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, and thou bear it not thyself alone. And say thou unto the people, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh, for ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, Who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. And ye shall eat it not one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but even the whole month, until it come out of your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you, because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, Why come we forth out of Egypt? Moses said to the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen, and thou hast said, I will give them flesh, that they may eat a whole month. And I think back at work, sometimes they have dinners for us, appreciation dinners, and I don't know how many people they've got now, probably guessing 300, 400, 500 people in the shop. But when you feed them pizza, they got 6 or 8 tables lined up in 2 rows, and their boxes are stacked, you know, just up, and they go through a mountain of those, and they have big dumpsters, and they're just full of boxes afterwards. They just go there like a plague, and it's gone. But anyway, I can't imagine feeding this many people, 600,000, you know, and compared to the group we've got. But and after they were longing for something out there in the middle of nowhere for such a time, it says, Shall the flocks of the herds be slain for them to suffice them, or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? And the Lord said to Moses, Is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my words shall come to pass unto thee or not. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and sat them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in the cloud and spake unto him, and took of the Spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. But there remained 2 of the men of the camp. The name of one was Eldad, and the name of the other was Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and the servant of Moses, one of the young men, answered and said, My lord Moses, forbid them. And Moses said to him, Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. And Moses got him into the camp, and he and his elders of Israel. And there went forth a wind from the Lord, and brought quail from the sea, and let them fall by the camp, as it was a day's journey on this side, and as it were a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, and it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. And the people stood up, and all the day, and all the night, and all the next day, and they gathered the quail. He that gathered least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them all abroad for themselves around about the camp. And while the flesh was yet in between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. And he called the name of the place Kibroth Hathaavah, because there they buried the people that lusted. And we can see they're complaining and griping, not trusting the Lord. And here he's gave them their desire, and to the point it's running out their nostrils here, and it cost them their life. They were looking back where they came from. They were not happy with what the Lord was taking them to, and they were longing to be back where they were. And I think this morning what the pastor talked about, you know, how there were naysayers about the new church, you know, it wasn't going to fly, and not here in Chelsea, you know, the Lord knows what he's doing, and he has a reason for it. But anyway, he's used this little group of people, and we're going forward. We're not going back. We're going forward like the Lord told us, and we're going to accomplish what he had for us to do. And Numbers 14:1 says, All the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. Wherefore hath the Lord brought us into the land to fall by the sword, or the wives and our children should be a prey. Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, let us return unto Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell upon their face before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them which searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bid stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation for all the children of Israel. The Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have shown unto them? I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of them a greater nation and mightier than they. Moses said unto the Lord, Then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest us up this people in thy might from among them, and they will tell us in the inhabitants of the land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among the people, that the Lord art seen face to face, and that the cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire by night. Now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, Because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he swore unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. Now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great according as thou hast spoken, saying, The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgressions, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, iniquity of this people according to the greatness of thy mercy. As thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt, even until now, and the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. And I thank the Lord for individuals like Moses interceding in situations like this. And, God sometimes just comes to a point where he can't deal anymore with what they're doing. He just puts a limit on it. But here, when his people are interceding for others, you know, it changes the Lord's heart. You know, he decided he would not punish them to the point that he decided to. But anyway, he goes down. I'm going to skip down a ways. And it says in verse 29, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swore to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. For as for you, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years. And I can't imagine wandering around in the middle of the desert there for 40 years. That would have been quite an ordeal to go through. But as they continue to think about going back and just didn't appreciate what the Lord was doing, it turned out bad for them. And we can see, you know, it'll be the same for us if we had the same attitude, if we turn back from following the Lord and go back to our old ways, you know. Luke 9:62. And Jesus said to him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And that is truly a statement we need to take heed to. You know, if we're looking back where we came from and desiring to be back there, you know, the filth that the Lord brought us out of, the wickedness, you know, the worldliness. If we're looking back and thinking, man, I wish I was back there, you know, we don't deserve the kingdom of God and his goodness. But these are some scriptures talking about looking backwards. I'm going to look at some now that talks about going forward. And Psalms 34, verse 5. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. And I look at the situation of Sister Pepper, you know, the close call. I believe the angels were watching over her, you know, because of the relationship she has with the Lord, and put his protecting hand upon her and kept her from that accident. And those that fear the Lord, he says there's no want to them that fear him. And he's looking out for us. He's providing for us. We just learn to put our trust in him and keep going forward for him. In Psalms 121, verse 1, it says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. And I think the Lord, he's not only the keeper of Israel, but he keeps his hand upon us. You know, he's with us. And I think it was Saturday morning. I was going to sleep in. You know, I've been working a lot of hours. I was pretty wore out. And I thought, man, I'm going to sleep in at least 7 or 8 o'clock, you know. Here the next door neighbor's dogs started barking. It woke me up, and I seen a flash of light down the hallway. And I thought, man, someone's got in the house. You know, I see it looked like a flashlight or something. And it was actually a little picture got in the living room. It's got all the grandkids on it. It keeps changing colors and stuff, and it was just flashing down the hall. But anyway, I got my pistol out, and I'm going down the hall ready for battle. And anyway, I get up there, and I peek out the front window, out through the blinds, and I heard a deer out the edge of the road there, and the neighbor's dogs are barking at it. I said, well, I'll go back to bed. Anyway, I got up, read my Bible, my daily reading and stuff, got it done. I was up for about an hour, went back, took me a little nap, and then I got back up. But anyway, just thank the Lord. You know, it's something simple like that, and the Lord was with me and protecting. You know, it wasn't something like you hear about in Tulsa about every day, you know, all the crazy stuff going on. Anyway, Psalms 123 in verse 1 says, unto thee lift up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. And Brother Pepper's talking about the Lord in the heavens. He is in our heart also, but he is also there. He can be at all places at the same time. He's omnipresent. I want to look in Acts 1 and 10. Says, while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And I thank the Lord that we do have that to look forward to. You know, we don't know when he's coming, but we know when he does come, we will see him, whether it's real soon or whether we go to the grave and he comes, we'll be up in front of the line. We'll get to come out first and in front of those leaving. But it's something we can look forward to as long as we stay headed forward for the Lord and doing his work. And he has promised that he will come back for us and take us to where he is. Beautiful place he's prepared for us. In Acts 7:55, you know the story about Stephen, how he was stoned. He was one of the martyrs of the young church there. And it says, he being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open, the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And once again, we're going forward for the Lord. We can't lose. We're just going to a better place. We leave here. The Lord was there to greet him and welcome him home. And I just thank the Lord. You know, we can look at Lazarus, how Jesus came to the tomb and called him out. He just came out and had been dead for 4 days. And the Lord was with him. And We look back at Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 4:29. It talks about how, I better turn back there and read it instead of trying to remember all of it. But so at the end of 12 months, he walked into the palace of his kingdom in Babylon. The king spake and said, "Is not this the great Babylon that I built for the house of the king by the might of my power and by the honor of my majesty?" And while the word was yet in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make thee as eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will." The same hour was this thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. And for the sake of time, I'm going to skip on down. And it talks about later how he came back to his kingdom, verse 36. "In the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my might and brightness returned to me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment. And those that walk in pride he is able to abase." And he can bring us down a notch or two when we need it. And many times I've been there myself, and you know, get to thinking too highly myself, or getting lifted up in pride. He'll knock me down a notch or two, but I'm thankful that he cares enough about me to do so. And he resists the proud, but he will welcome those that come and humble themselves and draw near to him. But I'll turn it back to you, Pastor. I just want to keep headed forward and not looking back. Just keep eyes on the Lord.